Let's pray. Father, we recognize that it's you, your Spirit, who leads us. So, Holy Spirit, we welcome you as our teacher. Come alongside with us. We desire your presence, because in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. It's your presence, Lord, that gives us a sense of liberty to be set free from whatever struggles we have. And in your presence, Holy Spirit, you impart to us your supernatural help in learning and hearing the voice. We are opening our spirit man to you, Holy Spirit. We want to hear your voice. Therefore, speak, Holy Spirit. Father, I know that many of us here know about the Holy Spirit, but Lord, many of them just want to feel your presence. So, Lord, Holy Spirit, as we talk about you, may many of our young people and older ones, that they may feel your presence, not just know your presence, and hear your lovely voice speaking to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, first of all, I'd like you to be carrying your Bible, and Acts chapter 1 is what we're going to be reading. And the first 8 verses, I'd like you to take note. And I'll need some help with this. Okay, mine is from verse 1 to verse 8. Maybe we project it up, folks. Is it possible to have... Let's read these first 8 verses. Then I'm going to expound on these 8 verses. Then I'm going to integrate the rest. Don't worry about that. So, you see, something you need to know about the book of Acts. The book of Acts is titled The Acts of the Apostles. But, do you know, the word Holy Spirit appear at least 70 times. So there are two things that are happening here. One, the Acts of the Apostles, human beings obeying God. But what I want to bring forth is help you to see that above the activities of the men, the apostles, the Holy Spirit is at work. You see, throughout the Bible, when you read it, you need to see there are two dimensions. First dimension is what is happening in the physical realm. But there's a second dimension that's occurring, is the Spirit of God moving. And therefore, if you understand what the Holy Spirit is trying to do, you easily understand what's happening in the physical realm. So there are two realms that are going parallel all the time. And I hope you'll be able to see this as we go along. Now, let's hear... let me see whether I can get it bigger. All right. I'd like us to read together for verse 1... verse 8, so that, you know, we get a basis. Right, shall we begin? The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Louder. Until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, has given commandment to apostles, whom he had chosen. Verse 3. To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering. Being seen by louder, pertaining to kingdom of God, verse 4, and being assembled together, but for John. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked us, saying, Lord, will you this time restore the kingdom? And he said to them, verse 7. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but when the Holy Spirit, has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The key word you need to mark is the word power. Power, the key word for today. So I'll unpack to you some of the key words here, the power. And this is how I intend to explain most of the notes. You have to read yourself. I will be talking about these key ideas. So this is a sequence I'm going to go on. So I'm going to talk about these three issues. Okay. Firstly, who is the Holy Spirit? So my key word is the person and purpose. Okay. Then the second thing I'm going to talk about is how does the Holy Spirit help us? We talk about the practice of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Then I'm going to unpack as we go along, what do you mean by the baptism of the Holy Spirit? So this will be the sequence. And we'll be talking about person of the Holy Spirit would be who is the Spirit, and there are notes all here. Okay. The purpose, the kingdom of God. So you can underline that. And then I'm going to be talking about the part of the Spirit. What does He do? How does the Holy Spirit help us? This is His part of how He practices it. And so keywords will be enlightens, empowers. So I'll try to unpack this word as we go along. Then the key, other key word you need to mark in your notes is the word supernatural. Okay. And how one of these purposes. And then lastly, the details on how to be baptized. So I'll unpack baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then I'll give you some details. So this is how I'm going to be presenting. And then I will be using some other keywords, which there are a lot of there are things here that you all have read. You have read 8 verses, and there are a lot of important words here that you need to understand, which I want to. So if I were to summarize here Acts chapter 1, what would be some of the key words I would like to unpack for you? Okay. So let me see. Okay. All right, some of the the three things I'm going to talk about would be the person of the Holy Spirit and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And so let me just unpack some of these key ideas that I want to highlight from this passage. You have just read 3 times in these 8 verses the name Holy Spirit. 3 times, if you didn't notice. All right, 3 times. So when the Bible talks about Holy Spirit, how do you introduce yourself if I were to ask you each one to stand up and introduce yourself? How do you introduce yourself? What do you say? You say, my name is Aka or Anya, whatever the name. Okay? You give the name first, right? And then after that, what do? You tell us, maybe you tell us your age. And maybe you tell us what you do, right? Are you a lawyer or a doctor or a craftsman? What do you do? All right? So, then you may want to, if I ask you to introduce yourself, you'll tell us what kind of character you are. You say, I'm one of them who likes to play golf. I'm a golf champion. That is what abilities, correct? Huh? And what do you do? What do you like? What do you don't you like? Do you have any hobbies? Things you like to do? God is introducing the Holy Spirit same way. So in this passage, you have first of all read the person's name. Actually, the Greek word for the Holy Spirit is the word allos parakletos. Can you say it with me? Allos parakletos. See, you all know Greek already. So if you say it's Greek to you, yeah, it is. Why does this term, is it important? Because the word Our Lord speaks of the same. Jesus is saying, same as me. He does the same thing as me. He works, he speaks about the same things as me. Everything that he's going to do will be similar to what I talk about. So, our Lord, the same. And the para is a word which means someone who come alongside, not one who sit on the throne high up and then criticize you. No, he comes alongside to help you. Just like if you stumble, he comes alongside, holds your arm, pulls you, go along with you. That's alongside. That's the meaning of the word para. And the word kletos simply means helper or comforter or encourager. If someone tell you, the Holy Spirit says, tell me to tell you that you're a wicked guy, you're useless, you're a bum. That doesn't sound like the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit don't talk like that. I'm going to judge you and kick your pants. No, that's not kletos. Kletos is someone who come alongside to help you. In fact, one of the things he helps us is he goes before the throne of God and speak on your behalf because you fail, you make mistakes. He speaks on your behalf. The technical word is advocate. That's what a kletos does. He helps you. He's there not to criticize you. Maybe he'll help you to recognize where sin is. But he's not there to say, I condemn you. You are useless. That's not how the Holy Spirit works. That's the meaning of the kletos, okay? So this is the name. So he introduced his name. And how old is he? Some people, my cell group, last week we discussed, one of them said he must be quite old, must be 6,000 years old, because Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 says he appeared, remember, he hovered over the formless earth, and then he created the planet earth. So maybe he was there, and then now till now, maybe he's 6,000 years old. How old do you guess the Holy Spirit is? Is he 6,000 years old? Not quite. He's more than 6 million years old. He's not old at all. He's from eternity. So he's got no age limit. So what else do you need to know about him? His character. First of all, his name is Holy. Holy here signifies purity. Guess what is one thing that the Holy Spirit cannot stand? Of all the long list of bad things people do, there's one thing that ranks top of the list. He cannot stand lying, dishonesty, deception. So you say, wow, why he gets so uptight on this? Yeah, that's what he is. Hypocrisy. He cannot stand this. He can tolerate other things, mistakes we make, and so on. Even a little bit of laziness, but lies cannot. But this is common for covenant relationships. Like husband and wife, it's a covenant relationship. The wife may spend all his money, but there's one, he can take it. That's what wives are for, isn't it? We say Mother's Day. Mothers work hard. Every money she's that you earn it, she spends it. But husband and wife relationship, one thing will destroy them. Lies. When they start lying to each other, that spells the end of the marriage. So that's a characteristic of the Holy Spirit. He hates lies. You just remember. So sometimes you say, well, a little bit white lie, brown lie, yellow lie, red rice, lies, I mean. Is it okay? No, it's not okay. You must know where he stands. That's something about him. Then the ability. Okay, there are three words I want to unpack for you, which you will see unfold in these coming chapters. So if you ask him what are his abilities, then it's the word, the technical words are omnipotent, means all powerful, and omniscient, he knows everything. You cannot bluff him. And the third word is omnipresent. That's why when we sang that song of worship, we ask the Holy Spirit presence. He's ever present. Sometimes we call him God of the now. And if you recognize the importance of his presence for anything in your life to be true and successful, you want his presence. Moses knew that. So a few weeks ago, we talked about Moses. When the people sinned, what did he tell God? God said, I'm fed up with you folks. You are stiff-necked people. You can carry on, but I'm not coming with you. And remember, Dr. Tan Ming explained to us, for if God say like that to you, I'm not going with you. Yeah, you can have the blessing, but I'm not coming with you. What did he say? Most Singaporeans would say, good deal. But Moses said, no. If your presence don't go with us, we stop here. So the presence of the Lord is very important, because it's in the presence of the Holy Spirit you have liberty, you have freedom. You don't feel so self-conscious. Many of you may not know me. I was one of the most self-conscious teenager that ever lived on the face of this earth. I was so self-conscious that I was a young teenager. I have a best friend. One day, the best friend introduced to me one of the family ladies. She was quite good looking. And she said, please meet my friend. Please shake hands. I ran away. See, I was very self-conscious. But the Holy Spirit's presence gives you that boldness. So character and ability, you need to understand, that stems from this term, Holy Spirit. There are many things you need to learn about Holy Spirit, but can you remember these two things? Who you are, who he is, what kind of character, and then what are his abilities? So when you read throughout the book of Acts, you see these three things appear again and again. So by verse 8, you shall receive what? Power. So that stems from his omnipotence. Because he's all-powerful, his primary role is to release power. Okay? And I'm going to unpack that word afterwards. Then it tells us, what are his purpose? What is his primary purpose? So just now I read to you in this passage that there are repeated three times, she's the word, what? The kingdom of God. Pertaining to the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus talked about. Then the Holy Spirit is again repeated. And so every time the Holy Spirit, you must understand his purpose. So his primary purpose, the big picture, is to build the kingdom of God. He takes offense at people who try to destroy the kingdom of God. So that's his primary goal. But he has secondary goals. Secondary goals would be to impart to us three things. Because he's omnipotent, he empowers. Because he's omniscient, he imparts to us enlightenment. That means you cannot understand the teachings of the Word of God. You will find the Bible very boring and cannot understand it unless the Holy Spirit explain it to you. That's why every time we read the Bible, we always say, Holy Spirit, please enlighten me. Please reveal to me. Use a spirit of revelation. The secret things of God are always revealed by the Holy Spirit. No way you can learn, even if the so-called professors in Bible seminary, scholars of Greek and Hebrew, they won't understand the Word of God. Just like, because you know English doesn't mean you understand what the English Bible says. Only when the Holy Spirit enlightens. So, because of his three characters, so he enlightens because he's omniscient, he empowers because he's omnipotent, and he gives his presence. That means he goes with us. He's in us, and He goes around with us. So the Bible always talks about walking with God. Yeah, He walks with us. Maybe we are not aware of it. When we worship this morning, when the people of God brings praise, the Holy Spirit is present. But most of us, sad to say, do not recognize His presence. We are not aware. But awareness comes from your spirit man. As you connect with the Spirit of God, then you will see His presence. Then you begin to hear His voice. When He talks with us, Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice." Who is giving that voice? It's the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit. Okay, so these are the three things of you need to know, the secondary goals for ministering to us. How does He? He's Parakletos. He come alongside, help us. Help us in what? In these three areas. Enlightenment, so that we understand the deep things of God. Because the things of the Spirit are in the words of spiritual language. It cannot be understood without the Spirit of God. But empowerment is the key idea here in chapter 1 and the book of Acts. Okay, I'll go on. Talk about this power afterwards. Then the third thing I'm going to talk about would be the practice. So I'll look for. So the key words that I will be expounding will be baptism of the Holy Spirit and the technical work of manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So, all right. So let me unpack here. The first thing that I'd like to unpack for you is the word I've unpacked the name to you already. So what is the promise here in verse 8? Jesus said in verse 8, the verse 8 says that you shall, or you will, or you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Let me unpack this word power, because you notice it's a different word from the Great Commission when Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth is given to Me. Make use of My authority and then make disciples of all nations. So that is found in Matthew. So there are two words that sometimes get confused. The Greek word for the authority is exousia, is quite different from the word power. Power is dunamis. So spelling is different. There are different concepts. So verse 8 says the Holy Spirit's primary role in our lives is to impart power. Okay, now, this word power is not quite the same as authority. You see, you need authority to exercise certain things. For instance, you need to have authority as a policeman to arrest a criminal. You and I don't have authority to arrest anybody. You need permit. That's authority. So the Bible uses the word authority, meaning to say, like, as many as receive Him, if you receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, then God gives you authority, which means the right to become the sons of God. So you need to have certain legal rights. So if you want to be son of God, you cannot be without rights. How do you get the rights? God has to give you based on what? When you have faith in Jesus. So that's a right. But power is different. Power is the what we call the, we sometimes call it firepower. Power is the part that forces someone to do what you want him to do. He doesn't want to do it, but you're going to force him to do it. So you can equate it to some force. So power would be different from authority in that it's like in a war, the general is the one who has authority, or in the United States, is the president who has the authority to authorize a war, to declare war, or not to declare war. He's what is called the commander-in-chief. All right, now, he has authority, but he has no power in a sense that he cannot force anybody to do anything. The power comes from the military soldiers. We call it firepower. The firepower is the one that will force the enemy to do what he may not want to do. So you need to apply power, pressure. So there's two different words. So the word dunamis, power, is the same word where you get a whole list of words like dynamite. It's got explosive power. Dynamo also comes from this word, which generates electric power for your lighting, whatever. You need a dynamo. Every car has a dynamo to regenerate, to charge your battery. Okay. So we use the word dynamics, how things move. Or we use the word, he is very a dynamic person. That means he moves things. Okay. So the power here, yes, earlier on the Lord says you have been given authority. But authority is useless if you do not apply it in power. If you don't apply the power. So we need both authority and the power. Okay. We have authority to come against the kingdom of darkness. But you need to exercise power. So you say in the book of Acts, Paul had authority. All of us who know Jesus have authority to fulfill the Great Commission. And he also has a power. We borrow the power from the Holy Spirit. So the sons of Sceva are seven sons of a religious priest. Heard Paul saying those words, in Jesus' name, I cast out you demons. Then he used the same magic formula. So the sons of Sceva have not been given power. And so when they order the demons to be cast out, what did the demons do? The demons overpower them. See, this is not authority. The demons have power over them and attacked them and tore their clothes and they ran away naked. And they were injured. So that's the difference. Firepower is very important. It's power that moves things, gets things done. Authority gives you the legal right. But if you do not have power, things do not move. So here is the word power being used. Now let me ask you a question. Of all the teachings of Jesus when he had 40 days on earth, what was the very last sentence he spoke to his disciples, followers? Did he say a lot of things? What was the very last thing he said? The very last sentence. Do you know? Well, if you have read this, verse 8 is the very last. After verse 8, there's now, he didn't have anything more to say. What do we know about very last sentence? Like a person who is about to die, the very last thing, will he say, hey, do you know what is the brand of ice cream that is the most tasty? Nobody talks about that, right? So usually the last sentence, you always say the most important thing. So the very last sentence Jesus ever uttered to the disciples was, you shall receive power. You want to know a lot of things, but you are concerned for the kingdom of Israel, but Now, we are going to talk about the kingdom of God. So, the last sentence is, but, instead of knowing a lot of other things, but what you must know is one thing, you shall receive power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, it's going to happen. Early on, he said, in a few days' time. So, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power, it says. Or, NKJV says, you shall. I think NIV says, you will. Well, it is certain that you will receive power when something happens. When the Holy Spirit comes on you or come upon you. So that's the last sentence Jesus said. You shall receive power. So up to this point, the disciples had no power to fully understand even the 40 days of teaching Jesus gave. They're still very confused. So they were given power to be enlightened. So the Word of God says that after the Spirit, Holy Spirit came upon them, they began to understand the spiritual things that Jesus had been talking about. Previous to this, they couldn't understand. And they received power to do what? Not only enlightenment, but power to cast out demons, power to do miracles, in short, the supernatural. So the first thing that you need to know about this power is not just authority. It is, so the word power I've just unpacked for you. All right. So when every one of us need power, not only authority, we need power. Because when you come against the kingdom of God is clashing against the kingdom of darkness. In case you don't realize that, we are not living in a neutral world. The clash is on. The battle is on. And you will be collateral damage if you don't know what's happening. Okay. Everything that happens, I said earlier, is in the spiritual realm. Even the war right now, the Iranian war, you don't understand what's happening. Unless you go back to Daniel to understand the spiritual realm that's going on. Oh, some take sides for the Iranians, some take sides with Israel and America. Look, all this taking sides is a waste of time. But Daniel told us that there's a prince of Persia. So it doesn't mean which Khomeini take over the land, it's still the same thing. There'll be animosity against Israel. There is animosity against Israel. And we know from the Genesis Foundation that if that Satan can cause a failure to Israel, if Israel can be wiped off the map, then it proves that God could not fulfill his promise to Abraham. So, there's a spirit force at work. So, this spirit force cannot be overcome with bombs. So, you and I need to understand the spirit realm, read the spirit realm activity. So, when we talk about power, we are talking about power in of what? You need power because of a battle. A war is on. The kingdom of darkness versus the kingdom of light. So Jesus keep on talking. The people of Israel, the disciples were concerned about establishing the kingdom of Israel. The Lord said, you don't need to know. And it happened in 1948. But you need to know that you need power because there's a war going on. And you are going to be collateral damage if you don't know what's going on. So there, you need power to be witnesses, to be Jesus' army. Witnesses are army soldiers. We have a battle. The king of darkness. Right now, who is the God of this world? The Bible says it's Satan who is the God of this world. Oh, AI and so on, inventions. Who give these ideas? It's always from the Spirit of God being released to human beings. But immediately it'll be usurped by the kingdom of darkness. That's why you get these scams coming up. It's using AI, but scams. Then people lose money. So this clash is ongoing. And therefore, you need power. Against what? Against the kingdom of darkness. Because a few things you need to know, I give in the introductory part of your notes. You see, everyone is exposed to the kingdom of darkness. I remember when I was a senior government official, one of my staff, a Muslim leader in a Muslim community, is one of the key leaders working with the Muslim community. One day he told me, he said, I'm very interested to go and see that movie. That time was called The Exorcist. Exorcist. I want to know, I want to see, but I'm too scared to go. You say you're Christian, you're not scared, right? Can you come with me or not? So I went with him. So a Muslim and a Christian went to see the devil's movie. And he really held on to the chair. Wow, this devil is so powerful. And half that movie is correct, but 50% of the movie is wrong. That's why you cannot get your knowledge about fighting the demons from movies, all right? The movies are very dramatic, but that's not the way to fight the demon. Only the Word of God gives you. But the fundamental thing is you need power against. So that means, do human beings have power against the invasion of the demonic spirits? Basically, he has none. Without the Holy Spirit, he has none. That means everyone who is without the power of the Holy Spirit can be affected. Okay, for instance, you take in this story, what happened to this man called Judas? Remember it says here, they came... at the end of this, Peter talked about Judas. Last story. And then they were looking for a replacement for Judas. Remember? And verse 20 says about Judas, let another take his office. Let another take his office. This is a word given by the Holy Spirit through King David in the ancient past. But here, it tells us, do you know what happened to Judas? In this passage, what happened to Judas who betrayed Jesus? Now, let me tell you who is Judas here. Here he says, let another take his office. The original Greek here means that he had a... position as an overseer. He's a leader. He has been given the post of a leader or an overseer. He's lost his leadership role, his office. He has been given office in the spiritual realm to an overseer, but he had betrayed Jesus. This part you all know, right? So what happened to him? The moment he went against Jesus and he had no Holy Spirit to cover him, what happened to him? It says here, what happened? Verse 18. Now this man purchased a field with the wages. Sorry. So verse 18. Now this man means Judas. This man purchase a few with the wages of iniquity and falling headlong. Can you take note? Falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, that means, and all his intestines or entrails gush out. This is a very gory picture. So what happened to this man who betrayed Jesus? And of course, the Holy Spirit was not with him. He basically committed suicide. That's what we learn from the other Gospels. That he committed suicide and he hung himself from a tree. And because we are hanging there too long, the rope burst and he fell down the Kidron Valley. So there's a valley below. Fell and his stomach burst open. What happened to him? The demons caused him to commit suicide. Nobody would want to kill himself for no reason. But there's a spirit called the spirit of death, and specifically the spirit of suicide. That's why in Singapore or everywhere you see suicides taking place. Sometimes it goes down the bloodline. Mother, I had one case, I had to help somebody. His mother committed suicide, and the son committed suicide. And the grandson is wondering whether it is his turn. You see, so demonic spirits cause death. And nobody is protected from these spirits. Unless the Spirit of God dwells in you. That's why you need to be filled. And Apostle John said, he who is in you is stronger than the one who is outside. That means demonic spirits cannot penetrate because the Holy Spirit is Lord. He's in control. That's why the Holy Spirit is important. You cannot say, oh, I don't need the Holy Spirit. I don't want to do, somebody told me, hey, Pastor, you want to do things for God, you need the Holy Spirit. Carry on. I don't need the Holy Spirit because I don't want to do anything. I'm not interested in serving God. Well, but you're still vulnerable. Didn't Jesus talk about a person who has been demonized by a spirit and then that spirit was cast out and the house was clean? And when the house was clean, what did the first earlier spirit do? He went out, looked for seven others worse than him, and the eight of them came back to crash into that house, that man, the human being. And what did Jesus say? The end of this man, it would be worse than the beginning. You read about the demoniac by the grave whom Jesus healed. All these are real. Maybe some of you say, well, Pastor, I have not seen all this. I'm not so sure, real or not real. Well, you can experiment or you watch The Exorcist and see what happens. Once I had a lunch with some managers in a factory in Shenyang in northern China, and after I finished checking their equipment, they invited me for lunch. All the senior staff ate together and I joined them. And one of them mentioned about evil spirits. And I say, ah, 这些鬼啊, 你们怕不怕? How do you translate for Roland? Yeah. I say, y'all talk about these devil's spirits. Are you afraid or not? Suddenly, the whole table kept quiet. I was waiting for an answer. Why did they say nothing? Of course, they are afraid. That's why. They say, I'm not afraid. Then what happened tonight if the demon visit you? And so, you say you don't believe. Okay. But the funny thing is this. Most people believe in demons and ghosts. But they find it hard to believe in the Holy Spirit. This boggles me. Okay. So how do you know that there are spirits around? What are signs? So you go to a graveyard at midnight, you will feel your hair standing up, right? That's one of the signs. Your hair stands up. Some people say, I cannot feel the Holy Spirit. But a lot of people can easily feel the demons. Okay, one of the signs, your hair stands up. You feel a chill. And some people say, something is not right. Some people say, it's creepy. Well, how come you can feel demons, but you cannot feel Jesus, Spirit? Something is wrong somewhere. It has to do with unbelief. It's to do with ignorance. So what happened to Judas? He committed suicide. And usually, this kind of gory result, intestine bursting. There was another case later on in the book of Acts where the Herod, the official King Herod, the second one, not the same as the one who was there when Jesus was born. And what did he do? He people worship him as God. He said, yeah, I'm God. And again, his stomach, his intestine were all eaten up by maggots. These are some of the manifestations of demonic activity. And if you don't have the protection of the Holy Spirit, I say to you, you are vulnerable. All right. So it's very important to be filled with the Spirit, because when you're filled with the Spirit, just like a bottle, if it's filled, you can't put anything else in. If it's half full, you shake, 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 half full, maybe somebody can fill it with some poison inside. Right? So you need to be filled. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit come upon you, he's talking about being fully filled with the Holy Spirit. Next 4 months, we are trying to help you to understand this. So that's about spiritual power. You need it. Not only to stay safe, but also to fulfill your role as a soldier of Jesus. The soldier of Jesus are witnesses. You can opt not to be a soldier of Jesus, but you know, in a war, it's the soldiers who got the weapons to defend themselves. It's the civilians who get caught in a crossfire. So it's better to be a soldier of Jesus, to take sides with Jesus, than to stay neutral and say, look, I don't want to offend this guy, I don't want to offend that guy. In the end, you get squeezed in together. You are like the grass under which two elephants fight. When two elephants fight, it's the grass under that is injured, not the elephants. So, likewise, we need to know, you can see that where the Spirit of God is not in control, evil spirits take control. This is something that, why you need power. I don't mean we have to be power crazy, but you need power against the kingdom of darkness. So, summing up, what is the purpose? The purpose is that although there's a battle going on for the souls of men, the Holy Spirit is trying to win the battle of the souls of men to build the kingdom of God. So, from chapter 1 alone, what is the book of Acts talking about? Is talking about the kingdom of heaven. So throughout the book of Acts, every third chapter, the writer Luke highlights numbers. Number of growth. The church grew to how many number? First 3,000. After that, come 5,000. After that, more are added. Then priests are added. Then many more, and so on. So, some people say, why are you so crazy about numbers? Hey, it's not me crazy. It's the Bible says that the kingdom of God has got numbers. And it keeps growing within the book of Acts. And the Holy Spirit, through Luke, keep on recording numbers. Every third chapter, he'll tell you what are the numbers. Who are the new people who believe? So I don't apologize about numbers. All right. So that's something that I need to unpack. Then one other word I want to unpack for you is the word wait. It says wait. Jesus says, don't go away. I want the first instruction that Jesus gave is Jesus, what he said, what's the first thing Jesus said? Do not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. Wait. So, what's the first instruction? Before Jesus rose up to the skies, he gave the instruction, don't go away. Stay put for the next 10 days and wait. Now, this is a very important instruction to receive the Holy Spirit. We have to learn how to wait. Now, what do you mean by wait? So, biblical wait is further explained. How did they wait here? They say here that after Jesus has spoken these things, he was taken up. And while they looked steadfastly, the angels came and told them that Jesus is coming back. When is he coming back? It's about now. All right. But during this period between now and his coming back, what are you supposed to do? First step, wait. They returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olive or Olivet. And what did they do? So it says that they all went to the upper room. Okay, you can mark your Bibles just as I've done. They all went to the upper room and all the apostles were present except, of course, Judas. And then it says here that they were doing what? Continue with one accord in prayer. Now, one accord means they were in unity, in agreement, second, with a common purpose. And they spent the time in prayer. 10 days. And part of the time they probably went to the temple. Dr. Luke tells us that they spent some time in the temple area. Because outside the Temple Mount got a lot of open space. So they would gather there. And then with the woman. So not the men. It's highly highlights that women had an important role. And Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. So the Lord's family, at this long last, all his brothers got converted. You know, quite a number of brothers, Joseph, James, and so on. So they all gathered to pray. It says in NIV, constantly. Or another version say, and I've used also the word continually. That means they probably stopped for a break, but they kept on praying. It's not like they pray 5 minutes after they go wander all over the place and then they came back. No, they focus on prayer. And how many were there that focused on prayer? The Bible says in verse 15, 120. I don't know where the rest went, but only 120 prayed. And you know, I give you in the notes, I don't know whether they realize that these 120 people, I wonder whether they realize that they are going to impact the entire world. Up to now, some censors say there are 2 billion believers of Jesus, plus or minus, 2 billion. Do you think this 120 people knew that their 10 days of prayer is going to launch a movement that will impact the entire world and that will impact so many people in every nation just because they started making time to pray. Do you tell me, do you think they spent that 10 days praying was worth it, considering the impact? Yeah, thanks. So the Lord Jesus is saying that we, you know how many members are here? We also have 120 here, you know. We are very biblical. We are 120, not many. You say, I'm not mega church. Yeah, but it begins with a mega vision. Praying. You see, everything that was important to develop, to launch, to birth, always birthed with prayer. Always. The founder of our church, George Mueller, he's a man of prayer. He wrote books on prayer. He's always praying by faith. So, in our Brethren Church, from many years, from the very start, we always have time for prayer. We have prayer meeting, but prayer meeting is not a very good word because we are not having meeting, we are having prayer. Like this morning, we had half an hour praying. More of you, I wonder whether can you think? If 120 people meeting for prayer birth a major movement, what do you think? If 120 of us make time to pray, do you think it'll make any difference? Well, it made a difference in those early days. You see, God always birthed something big when we pray with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So they spent just 10 days praying. Then next week you hear the explosion taking place. But prayer. So that's why the Lord said, don't go anywhere. Stay where you are and pray. Wait. And then as they welcome the Holy Spirit, 10 days later, there's a big bang. And the Holy Spirit arrived in great power. So this waiting is a very important way of bringing in the power of the Holy Spirit. We often say prayer is power. More prayer, more power. No prayer, of course, no power. Yeah. So let me just sum up everything on so first of all, I call it faith journey. Let me sum up what we are going to be learning. It's a faith journey, you see. Walking in the Holy Spirit is a faith journey. Activated by faith. You don't exercise faith and you don't pray. Then the Holy Spirit will never be real to you. All right. So your journey of faith has to be led by the Holy Spirit. So the starting of faith, so let me just sum up what will be happening in the coming days. We start with starting our faith, and when we start trusting Jesus, you have the indwelling by the Holy Spirit. So our bodies become His temple. So we respond by calling God Abba. We can experience the love of God. When you come by faith to Jesus, the Spirit of God dwells in you. But it doesn't mean He fills you. That's a different thing altogether. Yes, we do receive the Holy Spirit when we come by faith. But there are some things you need to do in a journey. The second move is there's water baptism because it speaks of obedience, about change of allegiance. When that happens, then you are ready for baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'll explain after this what you mean by baptism. When you are baptized, how do you know you have? Because there will be manifestation. The Bible word is the word manifestation. That means this is how you see the evidence, the physical evidence. If you are filled with the Spirit, you are baptized by the Holy Spirit, or this is what happens. One of the first thing that happens is the gift of tongues. You see this tomorrow, next week, in the next sermon. Tongues means prayer language. It also means more than prayer language. You will learn more about this later on. Then the Holy Spirit will impart gifts. This is not in today's sermon, but that's when gifts are a manifestation. That if you are filled with the Spirit, there are certain things that will show up in your life. Then you will know whether you are filled or not. So you don't see all these signs, man, means you are not filled. All right. So the spiritual formation this week, end of this month, is part of it to help you get filled with the Holy Spirit. So when you are filled, then you exercise the gifts. So what happened? Where do you exercise in your ministry? What is a ministry? Preaching, teaching, healing, casting out demons. So these four things we talk about in the book of Mark is what you will also do, just as what Jesus did when the Holy Spirit fills you. And then there's a next level where you progress to a higher level, I would call it, where you become prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists, apostles. I'll unpack these words next time, but this is to prepare for equipping of the saints for ministry. When you do so, you see church growth. Kingdom of God becomes full. There is a limited number of people who will enter into a kingdom of God. The moment that is full, everything closed down on planet Earth. So you and I still got a chance to be part of the people who will make the kingdom of God full. It's still not full yet. But the day is full, everything shuts down. No more new believers. But that part has not come yet. You and I still got a chance to participate. So this is a journey with the Holy Spirit. His goal is to have kingdom of God full. All right, so you got this. Then we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let me unpack this quickly. Receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how does it work? When you receive the Holy Spirit, you have to, firstly, you need to know. You need to know, that's why these 4 months we are trying to help you to get to know what is about the Holy Spirit, how He operates. You need to know the purpose and power for witnessing. So this morning's message is you receive power to be a witness. You need to know. That's why we are teaching this. Because if you don't know, you'll end up being superstitious. Then you need to, the steps are you repent. When sin hinders the Holy Spirit, you cannot, if you have habitual sin in your life, you cannot receive the Holy Spirit. You need to repent of sin. And fear sometimes blocks it. You cannot receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then you need to ask. You believe God's promise. God has promised. You need to ask. If you don't ask, you don't get. Because the book of Acts, Dr. Luke says, he who asks, gets, receives. You don't ask, you don't get. You need to thirst. Desire, this is a metaphor, is to drink. Like a thirsty man, you desire the power, the Holy Spirit in your life. If you have no desire, it will not happen. Simple as that. Some people say, if God want to give me, let Him give me. If the billionaire want to give me $1 million, let Him give me. Does that happen? No. The Holy Spirit says, you need to thirst. After you ask, you thirst. That means you wait. Sometimes, first time, you still cannot receive. You keep on thirsting. The day will come when you receive. Sometimes, first time you're being prayed for, you receive the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, no, because we don't know what are the hindrances. So, if you keep on thirsting, and then the next step you have to do is to come to Jesus. Jesus is the baptizer. So the church leader who is filled with the Holy Spirit can impart by the laying of hands on behalf of Jesus. If the church leader has not received the Holy Spirit, he also cannot, he got nothing to impart. Moses imparted it to 70 people with new power, new wisdom. It's called supernatural power. That comes when you come to Jesus. You say, Lord Jesus, I want your Holy Spirit. And Jesus is the baptizer, but the anointed leader can do it on behalf of Jesus by the laying of hands. But if you are scared, it doesn't happen. Then you have to yield your body, offer your body as instruments. That means you surrender your life to Jesus. So if you want to hold back, you say, no, Jesus, you don't touch this one, don't touch this one. You Sunday only you touch. The rest of my life, I do what I want. Then it doesn't happen. Yielding of your instrument, your body. Then when this happens, you will know it because you have a manifestation of spiritual gifts. What are all these? Another session we'll talk about it. But this summarizes the picture about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's a little bit different. It's different from the indwelling spirit that we talked about earlier. When you believe in Jesus, indwelling is when you believe. But until you are filled with the Spirit, you still lack power. Of course you can still witness. Of course you can try and pray for the sick. But the supernatural power do not flow without the Spirit filling you. Okay? If up to this point, is this? Can you understand? If you do, the response that you need to do is, if you desire the Holy Spirit, you thirst and you ask. You yourself can ask. So in closing, what I'd like you to do is this. As you close your eyes before the Lord, I've shown you this picture. If you still can't remember, you can look at it. And do you feel that you are willing to repent from all sins, sinful habits? And then are you willing to, do you desire? One way you can begin this morning by asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. And this is one part you can do this morning in your response. Okay, can you do that? Let's bow our heads now. I cannot do it on your behalf. You tell the Holy Spirit, asking to be filled. You start this morning. Those of you who have already been filled, maybe you want to ask for a bigger measure. The prophet, one prophet asked his mentor Elijah for double portion. Maybe you can also do so. But those who have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to come for the spiritual formation at the end of the month. But now you can respond. Ask God. Father, I really desire your Holy Spirit to fill me. I thirst. You can use the words of this mind map. And you can tell the Lord, Lord, I offer my body to you. I want to be baptized. With the Holy Spirit. And then, okay. Finish with your asking. Tell the Lord, I'm willing to forsake all sinful habits, all bad habits, habits that cause me to disobey your commandments. I'm willing to put all my sinful habits one side. And I want to ask, if you have done so, you can, shall we all stand for the closing prayer? Father, thank you for your gift, your promise. you will give us the gift of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because you said you're going to send him. And then, Lord, thank you for your word, for Dr. Luke, explaining to us who are Gentiles, who are non-Jews, because Dr. Luke, thank you for helping him to write, because he was the only non-Jew to explain to us the things of the Spirit. So this morning, Lord, you know our cry to you, Lord, to fill us with your Holy Spirit. We thirst for you, Holy Spirit. We want to offer our bodies as to you, under your full control, Holy Spirit, so that whatever I do it in alignment with you, Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, just come and fill my heart this morning. I want you to come in and fill every part of my life this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your holy presence. Thank you for your protection, because you are greater than every other evil spirit that is in the world. Thank you, Father, for this gift that protects us, that empowers us, that enlightens us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, this morning, helping us with our worship and our learning of your ways. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.